Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Caleb Kaltenbach. He is the author of an important book titled Messy Grace. I love the title. Let me give you the subtitle, and hopefully this will give you an idea of where we're going to go in our conversation. How a pastor with gay parents learned to love others without sacrificing conviction. Caleb, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really glad to be with you.
You have a remarkable story. It is all the more powerful because it's true. And I would love for you to begin just by sharing a little bit of sort of how you started out in life in an unusual situation, kind of a unique childhood with both of your parents being gay. And so tell us to start with about that and how Christians that you saw interacted with your parents.
Sure, absolutely. When I was 2 years old, my parents got a divorce, and both of them came out of the closet. My dad came out to other people. I really didn't know that he was gay until after I was out of college or right before I graduated from college, right around that time. But my mom came out, and she was very loud and proud. My dad never had a monogamous relationship, but my mom had several different my mom had a monogamous relationship. My dad never had one. He had several different relationships. But my mother was with the same woman for 22 years. And they moved to Kansas City, Missouri. My dad was 2 hours away in Columbia, Missouri. And my mom was very loud and proud. She joined the local board of directors for GLAAD in the Kansas City area. She took me with her when I was a kid in elementary school to parties and events and gay pride parades and campouts, and I remember really fostering an extreme dislike, maybe even a hatred of Christians at some of these events. I remember being in a gay pride parade once, and my mom and I got to the end of the parade, and Bear was there too, and at the end of the parade, all these Christians were holding up these signs, which just said awful things, and they were spraying everybody with water and urine. And I looked at my mom, and I said, "Mom, why are they acting that way?" And she said, "Well, Caleb, they're Christians. And Christians hate gay people. Christians hate people that are not like them." And I just thought to myself, man, I don't want to be one of those. And I remember seeing different young men in my mom's community die from AIDS, and their Christian family would be in their hospital rooms and would not want to touch them. I tell a story about that in the book. And I just remember really being put off and really coming to the point to where I just could not stand Christians, and I just made a broad sweep of labeling all Christians as extremists.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate the fact that in your book, when you share your testimony, you say, as you began to learn something about Jesus, you said the Jesus of the Bible was very different from the portrayal of him reflected by some of his followers. I certainly agree with that, and I would also add, as I'm sure you agree, that there are a lot of people who claim to be his followers who aren't.
No, absolutely. And I think the way I look at it now, especially looking back in the 1980s, and I think to some degree it's the same today, but especially back then, that extremism attracts extremism, right?
Yep.
I mean, you have especially the extreme LGBT movement. It's going to attract the extreme people that you and I would not want to claim, right?
But, right.
You know, that claim Christ. And so I joined this Bible study to learn how to disprove the Bible. I actually went in to pretend to be a Christian, to learn about the Bible, and to dismantle faith. And as you said, I learned that Jesus was not like those people. He's not like the family that ignored their son who was dying from AIDS.
Yeah.
Jesus had very firm convictions. but he also had very deep relationships with people and pursued people who were far away from God, yeah. people that nobody else would want to spend time with.
Yeah.
And even reading the Apostle Paul, I read things like Romans 2:4, right after our famed Romans 1 passage, where
yes.
we say that's the one of the clobber passages, one of the gay passages. Well, just look down a few verses, Romans 2:4, and it says, "But it's God's kindness that leads to repentance."
Amen. Amen.
And I thought to myself, how much more should our kindness lead to repentance? And so when I came out to my parents as a Christian, it would be much like a gay teenager coming out to his Christian parents, except I was coming out as a Christian 16-year-old to my gay parents, all
mm-hmm.
three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents basically disowned me for a while
yeah.
and didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Not everyone in the gay community is really all that accepting of people who disagree.
No, it was very ironic. I said the
yeah.
same rejection that you dislike in these people is the same rejection you're giving me.
Yeah.
The same rejection that you're fearing me give you, I mean, that's what you're giving me, because
right.
I also told them that I had come to the conclusion, which I still hold today, that God designed sexual intimacy to be expressed between a man and a woman in the context of marriage.
Amen.
And I still hold that today. But at the same time, I also believe that a theological conviction is never a catalyst to treat someone less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to be careful how we treat people, and that's where I think this whole tension of grace and truth comes in,
yeah.
of trying to live out both.
Well, Christ came into the world to save sinners, and nobody is ever going to get forgiven who refuses to acknowledge that they're never going to receive forgiveness, I should say, if they're refusing to acknowledge that they're a sinner and that they need forgiveness. And
mm-hmm.
if you know that God has forgiven you, you also better know that you're in no position to dump on other people and hate other people because they're sinners, because that's all of us. Ephesians 2 says that all of us, like them, were doing the things that the prince of the power of the air tells us to do. We were all in that same condition. We were creatures of wrath. It is only by God's grace that any of us is saved. So we have no basis to be haters and despising other people. But I love another thing you said in describing when you began trying to search out what Christianity is about so that you could refute it. You'd had such horrible experiences with people who claimed to be Christians that you were gonna be the ninja who goes in and learns the secrets. You write very, very well. And you made a statement here. Little did I know that God was simultaneously on a secret mission pursuing me. And that's really what happened, isn't it? God caught you.
Absolutely, he did. God caught me, and he wouldn't let go, and he wrestled me to the ground. You know, it's kind of like Jacob.
Yeah.
When he was wrestling with the angel all night, and the angel finally touched his hip and dislocated it. And, you know, neither would let go.
Yes.
And I think about that, and I think about how God pursues me and how God pursues other people. And, you know, God pursued my parents as well. I mean,
praise God.
My parents are now following Jesus.
Mm.
And I went to Bible college, graduated, went out to Los Angeles, and was on staff at a large church out there for 11 years
yeah.
as an associate pastor. Went to go preach in Dallas, Texas for 3.5 years before coming back to Southern California in the summer of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
To lead Discovery Church, where
mm-hmm.
I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
While I was in Dallas, both my parents moved there separately of one another.
Wow.
And my mom's partner had died from cancer
mm.
a few years earlier. And unless a miracle happened, she died without Christ.
Yeah.
And when my parents moved down to Dallas, they started attending the church I was preaching at.
Wow.
Even though they knew what I believed. And
yes.
2 weeks before we left, both of them gave their hearts to Christ. They
praise
started
God.
Trusting Christ. And you know, there's even a tension in that, because do they love Jesus? Yes, they do. Do they still probably struggle? Well, they lived that way for 30 years, right? It's probably always going to be there.
Yeah.
Do they believe everything I do theologically? No. Do they trust Christ for their salvation? Yes.
Praise God.
Are they tempted? Yes. I mean, how do all those go together? I don't know. Here's one thing I know, that God has never called me to make a gay person straight, and God has never called me to change lives. God has called me to point people to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
To the foot of the cross.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit PastorWood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit PastorWood.org today. That's PastorWood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Folks, we're talking with Caleb Kaltenbach about his book, Messy Grace, and the way that God has been so gracious to him and to us. Well, I was on the phone just a couple of nights ago with a fellow who theologically is very conservative in every area except with regard to his sexual orientation and his feeling that it's legitimate for him to pursue behaviorally what emotionally he is drawn to. And so one of the things we were talking about, I said, you know, you and I both have the same enemy. We're not each other's enemy. We both have the same enemy, and it is the father of lies who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right. And, you know, your problem is not that you're a homosexual. Your problem is that you're a sinner. And that's the same problem I've got. I don't have the same temptations that you do, but I've got my own temptations. And the fact that we are tempted in different ways doesn't make one of us better than the other. But it also doesn't mean that I can legitimize my sin by saying, hey, that's just the way I've always been inclined. I've been inclined towards sin my whole life. That's not something that developed at puberty. I've always been selfish, prideful. That's me. And that's why I need a Savior. And that's why we all need a Savior. And the only one who can do it is Jesus.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it. I mean, I think, again, your title is marvelous. You write very well. I'm recommending your book right now to our listeners. And I think you come at this very graciously and yet without compromise. You don't back off of the truth, but you hold the truth humbly and graciously and thereby have some real credibility in offering the truth to others. Jack Graham, who many of our listeners will know, says this, Messy Grace, written by my friend Caleb Kaltenbach, is a personal story of God's incredible grace and a call to love people as God loves. The message of this important book, says Jack, combines grace and truth and offers hope to a broken generation. Messy Grace is pure truth spoken in love and will help you relate to every person in a way that pleases God. Now, that's from Jack Graham, pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church. And I would just say, Caleb, when you get an endorsement like that from a fellow like Jack Graham, God is definitely blessing your ministry. Another friend of mine, Mark Dever, says, Caleb Kaltenbach came out to his parents. This is the story of that coming out. Only this time, it was a Christian teen coming out to his gay parents. The book combines undeniable experiences with clear biblical arguments. Add the gracious tone throughout, and you have a powerful book. That's Mark Dever, pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist and the president of Nine Marks. And Caleb, when you began this journey, you didn't know where it was going to lead you. But God did. And God rescued you like he rescues all of his children from your own sin and called you to his grace and his mercy there at the cross. But now you have been in the process for years of bringing other people to the foot of the cross, showing them Jesus. Do you feel like that folks who are struggling with homosexuality really have a tougher time coming to the cross than people whose sin may be something like, oh, I don't know, self-righteousness?
Yes and no. No in the fact that all sin sends us to hell, and if it didn't, there'd be no reason for Jesus Christ to make atonement on the cross. So, obviously, no in that sense, but I also think yes in the other sense. And the reason why yes is because our culture is so warped that it has put a twist on same-sex issues. To some degree, I understand, but it still has, to mm-hmm. where a lot of people, you know, as you well know, they don't see same-sex intimacy as a sin. They see it as an identity now. Mm-hmm. And we are in an identity crisis in America. That's why you have Bruce Jenner to Caitlyn Jenner, and that's why you have right. the leader of the NAACP in the Northwest who's Caucasian, but she says, no, I identify as African-American.
Right.
And so I think there's a huge identity crisis in our country. And I really learned this big time with my mom in a conversation one time when she told me something. That she told me that she and Vera, in the last several years of the relationship, had not been intimate, which, first of all, gross. Nobody wants to talk to their mom about that.
Right.
But second of all, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, how is this? And so I said, but you still call yourself a lesbian. So if you're not intimate, you're not a lesbian. And she said, well, yeah, those are my people. That's my community. I have friendships, acceptance. I'm not rejected. I'm part of a cause and a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Mom, you just described the church. And she said, no, I didn't. Why would I go somewhere where people would make me feel less about myself? And
mm-hmm.
it really dawned on me at that point that, you know, is same-sex intimacy a sin? Absolutely. But people are so much of a mosaic of their experiences and their pains and the things that they've done to others and others have done to them and their
mm-hmm.
joys and their upbringing that I think that so many of us, when there's an average Christian who is in an office place who or has a coworker that is gay, they automatically want to unleash Leviticus and Romans and 1 Corinthians on them because they think that that's what God wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you, I completely support those verses and what they say about holy living and how we need to honor those.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, people like my mother and a lot of LGBT people I know, the smaller or the smallest part of identifying as gay is the same-sex intimacy part. And so when somebody, you know, who really isn't friends with their coworker throws all those verses on them, the other person is thinking, you just reduced me to my sexual orientation, which you tell me that I shouldn't, and you haven't taken time to get to know me.
Right.
And you're going to judge me, no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk away wounded. And so I think a better approach is to not treat somebody like a pet evangelistic high school science project, to get to know the whole person, to become their friend, to really build an authentic relationship, to help them learn to make Christ the Lord of their life. And as they begin to identify primarily with Christ and he impacts all the domains of their life, I believe that God gives margin for us to have those difficult conversations in the midst of trust and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that my experience is this is the testimony of people who were in the gay lifestyle and came to faith in Jesus Christ. It didn't happen because somebody hit them with a verse. It happened because somebody shared love, real
Absolutely.
Love, Christian love with them, and in that loving context, loved them enough to tell them the truth and had the credibility to tell the truth because the person knew that they were loved.
No, absolutely. I mean, I asked my parents one time, you know, what was it that really convinced you? And, you know, I'm expecting some kind of apologetic philosophical argument, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're probably like me. You probably love apologetics. I love apologetics.
Yes.
But, you know, they said, no, it began with people treating us well.
Mm.
And that really softened our hearts to really listen to what God was saying and what God was doing. So I think it really all begins in how we treat people.
Yeah.
Again, if you look at Jesus, you know, Jesus spends time with people who are marginalized that nobody else would spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
And we think about, you know, what Paul wrote about homosexuality in 1 Corinthians 6 and Romans 1. But again, we forget about Romans 2, 4. We forget
mm-hmm.
about 1 Corinthians 9, 9, and all the way through verse 22, where Paul says, hey, I become all things to all people, so I might win some.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's whole argument there, I think, is not so much, hey, you know, to the gay, I become gay. But his point is, hey, I choose to step outside of my comfort zone, get to know the person,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and really get on their level so I can become all things to all people. And I just see that same heart in Jesus and Paul. And I don't always see that in Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that it's intentional, but I think that we have to really invest time in relationships And that's when we'll see our influence rise.
Amen. And I would say it's not only true of our witness to people in the homosexual community. Exactly. I mean, this is the case with everybody, and it's why, unfortunately, so many people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are having close to zero influence on anybody, not just in the homosexual community. But, I mean, in other words, there's so little outreach because people don't have the kind of love that Jesus has for lost people. As a matter of fact, there's a lack of love between believers who already are supposed to be in love with Jesus. I think if we really could get a glimpse of the mercy and grace that God has shown to us, we would find ourselves incapable of despising others because we'd be so amazed that God has accepted us. It makes it a whole lot easier to love others, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And it's funny, after I had this sermon, a couple sermons that go along with this book, when I go speak places, and the first one is called Messy Grace, and mm-hmm. somebody came up to me afterwards, and they said, that was a great sermon. He said, but you know, you forgot one point. And I said, what's that? And you know, you've spoken places, and you hear something like, oh, great, okay, what are you going to say? Can't wait to hear this. What he says is actually clever. And I still use it to this day. He said, well, you know, you're talking about messy grace and how we judge people. Well, the first two letters of messy are M-E, me.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to look at me first.
Yeah.
There's one of those times where it's like, all right, you know, what's your name? You know, or I can just pretend like I came up with it. And but anyway, but the whole point was, right? The whole point was, it's true.
Yeah.
You know, I think, here's what I think. I think that if you see somebody somebody who loves Jesus, who's extremely gracious and has a lot of grace, it's because they've needed a lot in their life.
Amen.
And you can always tell the people that are not gracious and legalistic, usually they're trying to hide sin somewhere.
Yes.
And they've never allowed the real grace of God to penetrate their heart.
Amen. Amen. And folks, if you are listening today, and you say, you know, I can put up with some things and I can be nice to some people, but I cannot be gracious toward people who ... may not be the issue of homosexuality, maybe something else. But there's some area you just feel like that sin, that problem, that difficulty is just, yeah, I can't love those people. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to save sinners. And all of us deserve God's wrath. It's not just some people deserve his wrath. All of us deserve his wrath. If you were to look at my resume, I've got a pretty clean rap sheet. I've stayed out of trouble. I've lived very conservatively. I came to faith in Christ at an early age. Let me tell you, I am so keenly aware that I deserve hell, because the root sin that is behind so much other stuff is the one I've grappled with my whole life, and that's pride. When you start to think that you're a pretty good guy and that God is blessed to have you on his team, you are so completely deluded. You are believing the father of lies. It was pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to follow in his footsteps. I am keenly aware that if I got what I deserve, God would destroy me. He wouldn't just punish me, he would destroy me. And God, in his mercy, chose to save me because he is that kind of God, not because I'm that kind of guy. Caleb Kaltenbach has written a book that you need to read and you want to share it with other people. It's called Messy Grace. It is his true story of how now, as a pastor who had gay parents, he learned to love others without sacrificing conviction. That, folks, is a lesson all of us need. And Caleb, I thank you for taking time to talk with us about it today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.